आत्मानं च प्रवयनं आकल्लाय विश्यांपति वानं विरक्त प्रतिष्ठाद विम्रिशान आत्मनो गतिं आत्मानं च प्रवयसं आकल्लाय विसंपति वानं विरक्त प्रतिष्ठाद विम्रिशान आत्मनो गतिं. After considering his advanced age and deliberating on the welfare of his spiritual self, King Uttanapada detached himself from worldly affairs and entered the forest. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is the sign of a Rajarshi. King Uttanapada was very opulent and was emperor of the world, and these attachments were certainly very great. Modern politicians are not as great as kings like Maharaj Uttanapada. But because they get some political power for some days, they become so much attached to their positions that they never retire unless they are removed from their posts by cruel death or killed by some opposing political party. It is within our experience that the politicians in India do not quit their positions until death. This was not the practice in olden days, as it is evident from the behavior of King Uttanapada. Immediately after his installing his worthy son, Dhruva Maharaj, to the throne, he left his home and palace. There are hundreds and thousands of instances like this in which kings in their mature age would give up their kingdoms and go to the forest to practice austerity. The practice of austerity is the main business of human life. As Maharaj Dhruva practiced austerity in his early age, his father Maharaj Uttanapada in his old age also practiced austerity in the forest. In modern days, however, it is not possible to give up one's home and go to the forest to practice austerity. But if people of all ages would take shelter of the Krishna consciousness movement and practice the simple austerities of no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating, and chant the Hare Krishna mantra regularly, 16 rounds, by this practical method, it would be a very easy task to get salvation from this material world. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, ninth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home. Today we are reading from canto 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home, text number 67. Maharaj Uttanapada has passed through life as the emperor of the world, in that position he has seen great joys and great sufferings. That is the nature of life. Whoever we may be, whatever we have, whatever position we may occupy, the world's nature is to inflict upon us sufferings and also give us segments of life where there is happiness. This is called sukha-dukha-da. It is all temporary. And therefore, it is all the stage of the illusory energy. However, for one who is situated in transcendental knowledge, in the association of saintly people, they learn to see every phase of life as a learning experience. Because really, whatever happens ultimately doesn't matter. Good karma, bad karma, it's all temporary, it's all illusory. Success, failure, victory, defeat, honor, dishonor, it just passes. The spirit soul is the witness of these phenomenal events that come upon us. The beauty of material existence is the lessons we learn from the experiences we pass through in life. And how these experiences bring us closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To take shelter of Krishna is actually the purpose of the entire material creation. The Jivatma, due to its minute independence in its infinitesimal condition, has somehow or other decided to try to enjoy, exploit, and control the resources of material nature in forgetfulness of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains that this material world is like a prison house, Durga. It is created for those persons who have this criminal mentality, mentality of thieves, wanting to occupy, possess, and enjoy the property of another. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Everything is Krishna's, but we want to claim it to be our own. Not only in the gross physical sense, but even in the subtle sense. Our intelligence. Krishna gives us intelligence. The subtle elements belong to Him. If we want to take credit for our intelligence, again, we are usurping another person's property. If we want to take credit for the decisions we make in life, again, we are taking Krishna's property. So real truth is to understand that all glories should be given to Krishna, and He should be the enjoyer of everything. Srila Prabhupada gave a very simple example that when we worship the deity, we learn how to feel happiness seeing Krishna happy. This is the beauty of deity worship. We see our dear godbrother Jananivas Prabhu so simple, so renounced, but yet so blissful. It's not that he has a healthy, strong, active body. He's getting old, but he's always blissful. Why? Because he sees the ever-youthful, blissful form of Radha Madhava, or Radha Gopinath. And he sees how they're being served so nicely, decorated so well, offered so much glorification. This brings him joy. When he sees thousands of people in the temple together, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, glorifying Sri Radha and Krishna, it brings immeasurable bliss to his heart. This is actual humility. Param drisvani vartate. When we experience the higher taste, then we really don't need anything for ourselves. What does Jananivas Prabhu possess? He just sleeps on the floor of the public pujari room. Such a simple life. He has nothing. But actually he has the great treasure of Krishna consciousness. Therefore he doesn't need anything. In this world of acquisition, however much you get, you need that much more to maintain what you have. And it's never enough. But we see Sri Radha Gopinath's temple, by the Lord's mercy, it's becoming somewhat of a beautiful place to be. Devotees take more pleasure in seeing Gopinath's house being beautiful than their own house. They can live in a very simple place. It doesn't matter. But Gopinath's house is beautiful. The Vaishnava's house is beautiful. This brings us the greatest joy. And brahmacharis are just sleeping on floors, in public rooms, sharing bathrooms with so many. But they're actually very happy because they're seeing how Sri Radha Gopinath is getting such love, such devotion, so many wonderful facilities. So it is in selfless service to God that there is real happiness in life. The illusion of material existence perpetuates the sufferings of birth and death in making us think that we'll be happy by controlling, acquiring, and trying to enjoy. And the impersonalist class, they try to extinguish all of these desires. But ultimately that is not possible. Because the soul is anandamayobhyashad. It is pleasure-seeking. It must find its pleasure in the spirit of love. Selfless love. Prabhupada said, when you feed the deity nice bhoga, a true devotee is completely satisfied seeing Krishna's eating nicely. Even if he eats very simple. If we see Krishna decorated very beautiful with garments and ornaments, that is our happiness. Then we don't have to decorate ourselves so beautiful. We'd rather have see people say, isn't Radharani and Gopinath beautiful today? We'd rather hear that than come someone saying, oh, you are so beautiful today. We would rather hear them say, did you see how Gopinath was, and Radharani, how their hair was so nice, and how their ornaments were so beautiful? Then someone saying, oh, such nice hair you have, and such nice ornaments you have. One incriminates us in an everlasting entanglement of competition and even envy. Because as soon as you enjoy anything in this material world for your own self, then the principle of envy comes upon you. Because when you enjoy, then you become envious of other people who may be trying to take away your enjoyment or surpass your enjoyment or have something else that you would like to enjoy. And so much so that people who are very materialistic, they consider it the perfection of life when everyone's envious of them. That means I have so much beauty, I have so much knowledge, I have so much strength, I have so much wealth, I have so much renunciation and detachment that people are envious of me. For the opulence of those in the renounced order is renunciation. I can eat less than you. I can sleep in a mosquito-infested jungle, which you can't. So we feel very happy when people are envious of us. And material, here in Mumbai, we see people drive nice cars. And when they see people on the streets looking with envy, they feel very happy. Somebody's in a rickshaw. But in Krishna consciousness, we want everybody, to simply see the opulence as the glories of Krishna. That is our goal of life. So this material world is specifically designed, ultimately by Krishna, through the architectural planning of Lord Brahma and the Devatas, in such a way to actually frustrate you. Frustrate you with happiness and frustrate you with suffering. All these dualities are designed for ultimate frustration. In Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, Lord Brahma personally declares this statement. Every day of Brahma, Brahma awakens from his night, where he's sleeping. And during the night, most of his universal creation has been destroyed by pralaya of devastation. So actually, he has to recreate every morning a major portion of the universe. It's not an easy job. How would you like that, some of you businessmen, if every time you go to sleep, a major portion of your factory is destroyed and you have to wake up and rebuild it again every morning? That's what Brahma has to do. And every time he's not able to do it himself, he has to pray to Krishna to help him to perform his service. And in his prayers, he's saying, actually, this is such a thankless task. I don't want anything to do with creating this universe, because I know full well that the whole purpose of the universe is to frustrate people and make them suffer. He knows. So many people may write their books about trying to make a enjoyable life in this material world. But here, the secondary creator of the material world explains exactly what it's all about. It's about suffering. And the happinesses of this world are simply to increase your sufferings. Pretty well. Because the more you become happy, the more you become attached to the source of happiness, and that source of happiness is temporary, it's going to be taken away. And to the degree you're happy, you're going to suffer. Unless our happiness is in a selfless disposition of consciousness for Krishna, then our happiness is real. It leads to unlimited happiness. So we should see through the eyes of the scripture. And if we see through the eyes of the scripture, we could actually be happy. But it's transcendental happiness. That means every aspect of life we see how God has designed it for my ultimate good. janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Krishna tells in Gita, the real problems of life are birth, old age, disease, and death. So Maharaj Uttanapada, in his youth, he had his son. His son ran away from home. You can imagine what a father suffers when a son of 5 years old enters the forest without any escort. So much suffering he had to endure. But then his son came home, and it made his life all the more happy. He was a great Vaishnava. But in whatever yuga we may be, we have to grow old. No one likes to grow old. Old age means suffering. The physical body becomes so vulnerable to so much distress. And these distresses gradually become permanent parts of our life that we just have to somehow tolerate and live with. And as we grow old, it's very painful for a materialistic person because working so hard for your life and deepening attachment to family and to whatever projects we have developed. And as old age progresses, we have very, very clear understanding that I'm coming closer to death. And everything will be taken away. There'll be nothing left. But actually, old age is one of the most superlative, glorious blessings of material nature from a spiritual point of view. We should be ecstatic as we're growing old. Children like to grow old. This is how everything is. Yani shasaravabhutanam. One man's food is another man's poison. Little tiny children, they want to grow up so fast so they can do what the adults do. They just, for them, time goes so slow. Do you remember when you were in school waiting for the summer vacation? It just seemed like millenniums from one semester to the vacation time. So when you're looking forward to something, time goes very, very slow. But when you don't want something to happen, time flies faster than you can imagine. That is the nature of the world. It's very interesting, is it not? Because time is the same. The second hand is going at the same speed it did when we were 5 years old as when we're 80 years old. But yet, the days and the months are the exact same speed. They're passing. But when we're young, they're going so slow. And when we're old, they're just flying by. We don't know where it's going. It's our perception. In the Western world, they say life begins at 50. That's the time you're supposed to be vanaprastha, according to Vedic ideology. The time when you're supposed to end all your material attachments is the time that they want to begin their material enjoyment. Actually, they know at the age of 50, you see, I'm getting old. Death is coming. I just can't enjoy much. I just can't do things anymore. So they come up with this life begins at 50 mantra just to somehow or other forget the reality that I'm dying fast. Hare Krishna. But for a devotee, as we're getting old, we become very happy. We like this old age. Why? Because there's such a great lesson within it. Can you imagine if Krishna wasn't so merciful to create old age, disease, and death in this material world, who would ever have the incentive to surrender to him? Who would ever strive for eternal, unlimited, transcendental rasa in the spiritual world? Therefore, old age, disease, and death are actually a great blessing. Padam padam yad vipitam datesham. We could die at any moment. It happens all the time. Unexpectedly, it happens. Even people, our closest associates, they tell us, their relatives, just perfect health, all of a sudden, heart attack, dead, within seconds. Not very old. Even some of our college students, heart attack, dead, at the age of 23. It's Kali Yuga. According to Bhagavatam, the rishis, the sages, those who have good intelligence, they worship Kali Yuga as the best of all yugas. Because so much suffering, so much misery, and such an easy way to get out of it. Simply Harinam Sankirtan. So in our life, we should learn what is wisdom. In one sense, you can say wisdom is a practical understanding of knowledge. How to actually perceive what lessons Krishna wants me to learn in the situations around me. So yes, you're going to get old, and then everything you have you will not be able to enjoy anymore properly. And then it's all going to be taken away at death. This is our fate. So actually, vanaprastha, when old age starts really setting in, that's the time of life that wise persons understand that at this point, my life should exclusively be utilized for Krishna, for devotional service. In youth, we may have so many responsibilities. Daivi Varnashram is a gradual progression toward pure devotional service. Brahmachari, so many austerities performed to try to develop a strong spiritual foundation in our life. And for those who become grihasthas, so many implications, complications, and frustrations. And some enjoyment also, perhaps. With some enjoyment also, I have heard. The scriptures mostly deal with the other part. But the whole idea of the enjoyments and the frustrations of grihastha life are meant to actually detach you, not attach you. Just like Maharaj Anga, he had this nice son named Vena. Yes? And this son of his was so nice. He used to kill children when he'd play with them and torture them. And he was such a mischievous person. Maharaj Anga was a pious man. He suffered miserably. He did everything within his power as the king to control his son, but he couldn't. He could control the whole world, but he could not control his son. It's the opposite situation of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. If only they could trade sons, both of them would have been so happy. But it was not the will of providence. So Maharaj Anga, everything he tried, but his son just wouldn't listen to what he said. So finally, after years of frustration, he came to the conclusion, this is Krishna's mercy. If I had a good son, I may never become detached. But I'm so frustrated. I just hate this world. I'm getting out. And without telling anyone, in the middle of the night, he renounced everything and attained perfection. Hare Krishna. So he was wise. And if you have good children, that's also a blessing. You have to see the blessing in everything. If you have good children, you should see, oh, this is blessing of God. Children could do so much seva for Guru and for the mission of Mahaprabhu. Children are so nice. Therefore, how I should become Krishna conscious, because he's so obedient to me. What I do, he's going to become like that. How I have to surrender to Krishna out of love. So every situation, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, success, failure, we have to learn to see the opportunity to surrender to Krishna in everything. And after passing through the Grihastha ashram and going through the trials, the tribulations, and the pleasures and enjoyments, by the time you start getting a little older, then we realize that I've had enough of all this. Leave all the responsibilities to the children and exclusive, the dusk of my life will be offered exclusively to Krishna. Because I don't know how much time I have. Let it be for Krishna. In this sense, old age is a great blessing. You poor young people, you don't understand the joys of old age. Material people are thinking, if only I could be young again. But devotees are thinking, oh, these poor young people, they're so foolish. There's still so much in the passion of enjoying this world. What a nonsense life. But I'm an old, crippled person. I know what it's all about. What a great fortune. Exclusively give whatever I have in my heart to Krishna. That is blessing. So devotees avoid charanaravindare. They are not afraid of old age, disease, and death. Maharaj Parikshit, he wasn't even old, but actually he was very old. Prabhupada said, old age means you're close to death. This is what Prahlad Maharaj told his little 5-year-old classmates. They said, Prahlad, we're just children. Just play with us now. And we can discuss this Bhagavad Dharma when we get old. Prahlad said, you may already be old. Old age means close to death, and you don't know when death will come. It's not just a matter of the health of your body. There are so many factors. There's automobile accidents, there's bombs aimed at us by enemy parties, there's terrorists, there's so many ways we can die at any moment. And Yudhisthira Maharaj considered the greatest wonder that everyone around is dying, but everyone thinks, I have plenty time. That's an illusion. We don't know. Edana yovana putra padijana ite kiyapare chitire. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala bajahun hari parani tire. All of our attachments in this world, they're all like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. At any moment, gone. That is our condition. In old age, we become very much aware of these things. In youth, we become blinded by the illusion of our exuberant physical condition. And we don't take these things very seriously. But in old age, we start taking things seriously. And even the grossest materialistic people, they actually start thinking a little selflessly when they get old. They start making their will. That means, I'm going to die. I have to face the reality. I'm going to die, and it may come real soon. So I have to think about what I'm going to do for my children. Some service attitude of giving everything to someone else. So that's also a beautiful thing about old age. You're actually thinking about giving everything you have to somebody else. Of course, you don't do it until you die, but at least you think about it. Well, this is the example of Uttanapada Maharaj. He is understanding that Atato Brahma Jigyasa, this human form of life, is meant for self-realization. Nayam deho deha bajam aloke kastan kaman arhati vibhujam je tapo divyam putra kayena satvam sudhyajisyam brahma sokyam dvanantam. This human form of life is so rare, it is so precious. It's not for sense gratification. Sense gratification are available for the dogs and hogs that eat stool. Human life is meant for austerity. That type of austerity in devotional service that leads one to the ultimate joy of pure devotion. That's the only singular purpose of human existence. This was spoken by Rishabdev to his young sons. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in plenary incarnation, Lord Rishabdev. And he wanted to show the world by his example. He was the king of the planets. But when he saw his son, Bharat, was old enough to take the throne, he coronated him as king. And then he instructed his 100 sons in the process of pure devotional service. After he instructed, he left. First he stayed home. But how did he stay home? He stayed home as an avaduta. That means completely detached from any enjoyments or any material conventions. An avaduta means one who disregards the conventions of the varnashram dharma because that person is on such a high level of transcendental consciousness. So he just lived home and his hair was disheveled and he wasn't wearing clothes. He wasn't talking to anybody. Hare Krishna, completely detached. And then after some time he decided to wander around the entire world like a madman. He would pretend to be blind, deaf, and dumb. He pretended to be a total social reject. He would come out of the forest with flies flying all around him, just like an elephant comes out of the forest. And people would see him. And the nature of ignorant human civilization is they want something or someone to think that they're better at. Something, some ways of enjoying. Just like little children. When one little child does something and makes a mistake and is crying, all the other children are laughing and saying, ah, look at that, look at that. They like to see. One little child has some defect. All other children will tease him and laugh at him and push him and shove him. And yes, it's cruel. It's actually cruelty. But cruelty is fun. for people of that attitude. So in the same way, Rishabhdev, who happens to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who happened to be the most glorious king who led everyone to spiritual and material prosperity, that same person, they couldn't recognize him as God and as the king of the world. He had such powers, but he took such a humble position. He did not want to be honored, because for a person who wants self-realization, honor is very dangerous. So people used to chastise him. They used to beat him up. I mean, seriously, they used to beat him. And he would just let them beat him and smile. He would just smile. And then they really thought he was crazy, so they'd beat him more. They used to throw dust in his face. They used to spit in his face. They would push him on the ground and pass urine in his face. They would pick up stool and throw it all over his body. All the while laughing at him, criticizing him. And Rishabhdev, he just was very happy. He just continued on, going from place to place, being abused. People would say he was a ghost. They thought he was haunted. They thought he was an ignorant, animalistic person. Here is God himself, who was their king, taking such a humble position. Avadhut. In this way, he traveled years in the forest performing this type of mystic yoga. But then he realized that the people are not appreciating me at all. So what's the use of them? So he became like a python, and he just laid in one place. And whatever food happened to enter his mouth, he would eat. And whatever didn't, he didn't eat. And his stool and urine, because he wasn't moving, he was passing stool and urine. And just to make things more exciting, he would roll in his stool and urine. Why did he do that? So that the ignorant people would not bother him anymore. But do you know, should I tell you some details about his stool? His stool was so nice that it created an ambrosial nectarine fragrance that just attracted the heart. And that fragrance spread for over 80 miles. Hare Krishna. 80 miles is how much is Pune from here? Huh?
100 miles.
So that's beyond Pune. Yeah, 80 miles. It's about where Nigri, right? Somewhere near Nigri. So can you imagine if you pass stool here, and even the devotees in Nigri, they would be dancing in ecstasy. He has passed stool at Radha Gopinath temple. So nice, so nice. This was Rishabhdev, such a great personality. And then after doing his python yoga for some time, then he just started wandering around, and he would act just like a deer, a crow, or a dog. It's like an animal. And in this way, he entered into the forest. And in one particular forest, the bamboos, trees, rubbed against each other due to the winds, and it created friction, and there was a fire. And Rishabhdev just happily burned in the fire. But do you know, all the animals in the fire that got burnt, they all got liberated because of his association. Human beings didn't get liberated, but the animals did, because they actually got his mercy. So there are so many examples of great personalities who leave this world as soon as their children are old enough to take care of things. Actually, Srila Prabhupada explains that in this age of Kali, it's impossible to go into the forest like Rishabhdeva or like Maharaj Uttanapada. We just can't do it. We don't have the strength. We don't have the training. But it's not the detail of literally how they renounce the world. It is the spirit that we must learn from. The spirit was they detached themselves from all materialistic pursuits and attachments and exclusively engaged themselves totally in devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada explains here that in the age of Kali, just to strictly follow the four regulative principles, you practically get the same credit as going into the jungles in Satya Yuga. And just by chanting attentively our 16 rounds every day, we will get great benefits. And just by engaging our mind, our senses, and our time at the dusk of life in the exclusive service of the Lord. Because after all, if we're attached to anything at the time of death, we have to take another birth. So old age is the time when we should really try to eliminate all other attachments except Krishna and devotional service. That's the wisdom of old age. That's the glory of old age. Where we look back at our life and see through the eyes of the scriptures our mistakes and the lessons that we learned and the illusory nature of everything. Actually, when you look back at your life, it all passed as if in a moment. It's gone. There's nothing to hold on to. So what's left? The spiritual world. Parastasma tu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana. Krishna tells, besides this inferior world, there's another place. The spiritual existence. Where everything is transcendental. Everything is full of wonder. Jesus Christ said, do not make any treasure in this world. Make your treasure in the spiritual world. For wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this world is no place for a gentleman. And then he went on to explain that this world is like a toilet room. Just take care of your business and get out. Don't make your private permanent residence in this toilet room. Now in the West, people have very nice toilet rooms. In India, it's still somewhat old-fashioned. But I have seen there are toilet rooms in people's houses that are more spacious and opulent than king's palaces. They have TVs, remote controls, they have bookshelves. I have seen. Speaker systems, sound systems, hi-fis. All while you're passing stool, sitting on a bowl. Because They don't want to waste a moment from enjoying material life. They understand, Chanakya Pandit says, that a moment lost can never be bought back. So their conception is to enjoy, so they don't want to miss a moment of enjoyment. So obviously, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's analogy does not apply to such people. But here in India, you know what a toilet is. You take care of your business and you get out. We have to take care of our business, and we should do it well. But we shouldn't be attached to it. Bharat Maharaj, when he renounced the world, as soon as his son was old enough to be king, he wasn't that old either. As soon as his son was old enough to become king, he left his palace, all of his attachments to family, wealth, power, prestige, and it said he left all of that just like a person leaves behind his stool after passing it. How many of you ever in your life have ever felt separation from your stool after you passed it? Even though it's born right out of your body, just like your children. In fact, for men, women, children come from your body. From the man, it comes out of his body into the woman, and then it comes out of her body, and that's children. So stool also comes out of our body. But we have no attachment for it, because it's just abominable, matter. Now the hogs, they see great value in your stool. I have seen hogs fight and battle, have civil wars over my stool. I have seen. I could have become very proud and puffed up. I left it behind and I saw a whole group of hogs fighting over it. I became very puffed up, thinking, just see. So for a self-realized soul, persons who are too much attached to this material life, Rishabhdev said, they're like hogs. They're fighting over the stool of material enjoyment. But a human being wants to experience a higher taste. That is what human life is about. That higher taste that is beyond the temporary sensations of the mind and senses. The higher taste that is the permanent, blissful nature of the soul. And that is Krishna, the all-attractive. Rupa Goswami prayed in this way. If you are attached to your family, society, and love and wealth of this world, then please do not go to Keshi Ghat on the bank of Jamuna, because there Sri Govinda Dev is standing in his threefold bending form, playing upon his flute. Once you become attracted to that beautiful form of Shyam Sundar, then this world, you do the needful in this world. But there's no charm here anymore. How to gain that attraction to Govinda? That is the real purpose of life. And at every stage, in the association of devotees, under the direction of the great souls, we should be striving and praying for that. Queen Kunti prayed like that. Such a great personality was Kunti Devi. She prayed to Krishna, please sever my attachment to my family. She prayed, O Lord of Madhu, as The river Ganges flows to the sea without hindrance. Let my attraction be forever drawn to you without being diverted to anyone else. That is Kunti's wisdom. That did not make her hard-hearted as a mother. She was a very soft-hearted, caring mother. But internally, this was her consciousness. She raised her children as with great affection and love as a service to Krishna. Not for her own personal enjoyment, for Krishna's enjoyment. It is the great art of devotion. So you should all know that either you're old or you're going to be old. If you're about to die, you may be older than you think. Some people here are in their early childhood. Some are teenagers. Some are 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, even 70s. We even have some devotees in their 80s. Old age is coming. When you see our Valmiki Muni Prabhu, you should understand, this is my future. We're dancing. He's dancing too. Rare soul. So we should be conscious that every moment is going to be utilized for the proper purpose. And we shouldn't be fearful or depressed by the natural arrangement of nature. We should see the sufferings of old age, disease, and death as one of the greatest, most treasured, opulent blessings in creation. Because they are the necessary incentive for us to surrender to Krishna and find the eternal blissful spiritual life of Goloka Vrindavan. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Janani Vas Prabhu, would you like to speak some transcendental wisdom for the benefit of all devotees?
Make one comment on old age and this what they call middle age crisis in the West. People start to fear that they haven't really utilized their life properly and now it's too late. It's called a crisis. But actually it's Krishna's arrangement in nature that when this happens, it's a warning, whether it's for civilized people, that this is the time to take vanaprastha. So it's a natural arrangement of nature. You will know actually when to take vanaprastha. You don't have to be told. It's just a natural feeling comes in nature. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Maharaj, disease and old age, they certainly curb our enjoying mentality. But in the conditioned stage, our devotional service also depends on the bodily condition. So when we are diseased or old, it also impedes or restricts our devotional service. So how should we see this?
It does not restrict our devotional service. It may restrict the external form of our devotional service. But actually our devotional service is always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna. And that we can do. It's actually a wonderful time to do that. And we do whatever we can. It is the duty of every human being to keep body as fit as possible for active devotional service, because the body is essentially meant for the service of the Lord. However, by the power of time, we can only do this to a limited extent, and then old age must come, and it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Srila Prabhupada taught us by his example. When he was about 50 years old, he took vanaprastha and dedicated his life exclusively to the service of his Guru Maharaj's mission. No distractions. And then later on, he took sannyas to give his life exclusively for the welfare of others. And he would take his morning walks to keep his body fit so he could continue translating and preaching and traveling. He would get massages. So he set an example how to try to keep the body fit and use it exclusively for bhakti. But then when, by nature's arrangement, there's not much else you can do to keep the body and soul together, and he just went to Vrindavan, and still he was translating, he was doing his service up to the last moment, in whatever way he could, completely absorbed in Krishna. He said to us, do not think this will not happen to you. And his disciples didn't understand what he was saying. But now, 30 years later, starting to get some realization. And more realizations will certainly come. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna.
One more question. Sufferings, sometimes we see that many people, they succumb to addictions and other bad habits because of suffering. Even in devotional life, sometimes when some problems come, we end up becoming frustrated and not remembering Krishna, but becoming a little averse to Krishna. So actually, what determines whether the suffering will take us closer to Krishna or take us away from Krishna? Because we have heard good instructions, still sometimes we are unable to turn, take shelter of Krishna at the time of suffering.
It will depend on our sincerity. If we are sincere, tate nukampam sushamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vibhagam. When sufferings come with folded palms, we offer obeisances to Krishna with a grateful heart and cry out for his mercy. If we are insincere, we will blame God and we will become more inclined toward taking shelter of material energy. That is a test of our sincerity. Prabhupada's appeal to us was very simple. Take this Krishna consciousness very sincerely, and your life will be perfect. Just be sincere. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.